Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Ed.
And also from Kansas City, Doctor, the good doctor. Put some lime in the coconut, Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Hey, Ed, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. It is June 14th, and today is Flag Day, right?
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, it's Flag Day. By the way, not the flag that probably most of you have been seeing flying around, but it's...
Somebody let the White House know which flag we're talking about here.
Yes, that's right, the U.S. flag. And it is celebrated on June 14th, commemorates the adoption of the flag of the United States on June 14th, 1777. So that's the flag that we should be seeing flying at the White House, only that flag. But anyway, so I don't know what you do. Do you say Happy Flag Day to people? I'm not sure. But anyway, that is what today is, June 14th. And it is the day after my anniversary, which was yesterday. Thanks. I want to just thank so many of you for your well wishes on Facebook. All I've heard about really is about the rabbit story I told on Monday.
There's a lot of controversy. Many questions. Yes. Many questions about this.
I won't revisit it for those of our listeners who are squeamish. Or it's probably who are sanctified. It's a burning question. But anyway, we'll just leave.
Did you have a nice anniversary? Let me ask.
I had a nice anniversary, and
you went out to eat. You told us you were taking your wife out.
We went out to lunch, and we'll probably go out for something a little more formal, you know, this weekend. Sure. Although it'll probably get canceled because my son and daughter-in-law have their. I'm not even sure what anniversary theirs is, but they have theirs on the 16th, 2 days. So we're going to be babysitting. So we'll probably our dinner plans on hold so we can go babysit. It's all about the grandkids. I don't even like my kids anymore. I just like
skip
the grandkids.
Them. Let's go right to the grandkids.
That's right. So anyway, folks, thank you for joining us on American Family Radio and on this program, where we certainly hope we will discuss some of the important stories that affect you and affect our country. I do want to let you know that if you would like to watch the live video stream for this program, you have two ways to do that. You can go to Facebook Live and click through, search for Today's Issues and click through. We do have a live video stream while the program is going on. Or you can go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. Do want to encourage you also to get the AFR app. If you're ever going to be away from your car radio, or maybe you listen at home on a radio, but you're going to be away and don't have a terrestrial radio station, download the AFR app and you can listen to not just this program, any of our programs on your portable device, your phone, as long as you have a good signal. All right, Fred, let's go.
All right, well, the big news yesterday was the appearance of former President Donald Trump at a federal court in Miami, and he was there for his arraignment on the 37-count indictment he is facing with regards to documents found at his Mar-a-Lago home there in Florida. And, I watched this story unfold yesterday, and you get the sense when you're watching things, this is historic. The former president flying from his summer home up in New Jersey on his plane down to Miami, and then you have this parade of security vehicles because he has that protection
right.
as a former president, down to the courthouse. The court proceedings themselves didn't last all that long. And when they were done, you see this same parade of vehicles come out of the courthouse. And the assumption was he pleaded not guilty. Most people know that now and expect it. But this parade of vehicles was going to take him back to the airplane and back to New Jersey. But they stopped on the way. I'm not sure if the media knew about this or not. They had, you know, helicopters, cameras, and everything
right.
following this. But he makes a stop at a famous Cuban restaurant in Miami. And he goes in, and they have a big party for him because today is the former president's birthday, 77 years old.
Today. So,
but yesterday they were celebrating at the restaurant. And in typical Trump style, you know, very flamboyant, people hugging him and all that sort of thing. And feed them all, he says, to the restaurant.
So, free food.
I guess his credit card can handle that.
Yes. You know, Donald Trump, one of his strengths has always been being with people.
Yeah.
He is a people person.
Is he ever?
And he, I was going to say he knows how to play the crowd. That sounds like he's got sinister motives. He just is one of those kinds of guys that attracts people. That's why he has such a rapport with supporters. That's why his gatherings are always well attended, and the people are energetic in their support of the president. So this is that kind of thing is a good move for him.
Yeah. Well, he did fly back home to his New Jersey summer residence, and he had a little speech to give last night. And if you thought, and this is an amazing aspect of this man, just stop and think of the pressure this man has been under for years.
Right.
Russiagate, you know, impeachment twice, the whole thing. If you thought that at 77 years of age that he was ready to go into the retirement home, he's not. He is every bit as defiant and every bit as feisty. So here's a little bit of what he had to say last night. Cut one.
This day will go down in infamy, and Joe Biden will forever be remembered as not only the most corrupt president in the history of our country, but perhaps even more importantly, the president who, together with a band of his closest thugs, misfits, and Marxists, tried to destroy American democracy.
So there you have it. You know, the fight is on. We've talked about some lawyers who say some of these 37 charges are serious.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see. There is speculation as to when a trial will be held. Some people think it may be after the 24 election before we actually get to a trial.
Wow.
Because the way these things work, Abe was talking about this, our own Abe was talking about it. But there are some who are out there, and some of them include John Ratcliffe. He is the former director of national intelligence from the Trump administration. And this is what he has to say about these charges. Cut number 11.
Yesterday was a travesty because, look, we all think that laws should be enforced, but laws should be applied evenly and enforced evenly. And that's clearly not taking place here. And that's one of the things that President Trump is pointing out. And because that isn't happening here with respect to Jack Smith, this is very clearly coming across as a political prosecution. And because it's a prosecution that was initiated by the incumbent president against his primary political opponent, it is election interference.
Yep. Well, Ray, I got to say, I give what was it John Ratcliffe? Is that
correct.
His name?
Correct.
What he has to say, I give this a lot of credence, because if this had come up, if this prosecution, and I'm just talking about this one, there's already been one in Manhattan. There's probably a couple more to come on the January 6th events, and then Georgia, the call in to the Secretary of State of Georgia, find the votes, that kind of thing. If this prosecution on the documents found at the former president's Mar-a-Lago residence, if this had been a one-off, if this had come out of basically nowhere and President Trump had been treated fairly and the way other presidents have been treated, not only by his own Justice Department, but then following the 2020 election, the opposition party's administration, I would say, well, you know, this you gotta go where the evidence leads. But because of the history of basically persecuting Donald Trump and making accusations that have turned out to be patently false I mean, Adam Schiff saying we've got the smoking gun. We've got the evidence. I sit here and I go, okay, I'm not an attorney. I'm going to wait for this to play out before I decide whether I think the former president is guilty of anything or not. But I have to say, with all the people talking about the impeachment trials and all this before, saying, oh, we've got the evidence, and it turns out to be a big nothing burger, I don't know, but that's what's not going on now.
Well, in the first place, Ed, there are two courtrooms at play here. One is the courtroom down in Miami where Mr. Trump was arraigned and his lawyer entered the plea of not guilty. The wheels of justice are moving. They're going to move at their own speed. And like you were saying, maybe this won't even come to trial until after the election next year. We'll see how that plays out. But there's the bigger courtroom. It's the courtroom of public opinion. And I got to say, in the courtroom of public opinion, I think Mr. Trump had a good day yesterday. You wouldn't think that being arraigned on serious charges, as are in the indictment, would be a good thing. But I think Mr. Trump scored very big because people understand this is a purely political prosecution. I'm not going to the details of the indictment. I'm not going to the audio of what he said to the reporter. All that has to be litigated, right? That's got to be
right.
Found out. But if we just ask who won big yesterday, you had Donald Trump. Clearly, the Democrats hoped that he would bow the knee, that he would appear abashed and humiliated. No, he was defiant yesterday. He was throwing it right back in their faces. This is what drives the Democrats wild. Donald Trump refuses to jump when they say jump. He doesn't dance to their tune. So in that sense, a lot of Americans are going to rally to his cause because they saw him standing up and fighting back. So oddly enough, I think it was ultimately in the great court of public opinion a good day for Mr. Trump yesterday.
And I would say this, Fred, too, Ray's point about this being a political, and President Trump has called this a witch hunt.
Yes.
And his words yesterday, if he will stay on that track, talking about the, in fact, I want to play that again just to get the right words, but if he will stay on track and hit that message about the corruption of the Biden administration and the absolute failure to follow up on the Hunter Biden laptop, on the corruption possibilities of the entire Biden clan, and the redaction of the potential for audio of the recorded calls between the Bidens and this Burisma CEO or whatever position he holds, and if he will stay on that particular track, I think that's going to start to generate a lot of sympathy for Donald Trump. And it is clearly political, whether or not, like Ray said, I'm in absolute agreement. I don't understand all the legalities of the charges. I'm willing to let this play out. But it is, to me, provable that this is a political prosecution, because the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, they had a hearing, what is this now, a month ago?
Yeah.
And he said the second hearing was going to be in December.
I know.
I have never heard of anything like that, where you have like 7 or 8 months between the first hearing and the second hearing, especially if you're charging a former president.
Yeah.
You know, you should. And so, well, why December? Why wait till December? Because it's just before the primary season starts.
Yeah.
You're not fooling anybody.
That's right.
When it comes to this. I want to replay what the former president said, and then, Fred, get your take on this.
This day will go down in infamy, and Joe Biden will forever be remembered as not only the most corrupt president in the history of our country, but perhaps even more importantly, the president who, together with a band of his closest thugs, misfits, and Marxists, tried to destroy American democracy.
Thugs, misfits, and Marxists.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you keep swinging that club,
yeah,
you are going to start picking up in the polls.
Absolutely. You know what's really interesting, and to your point, and to the point being made, the injustice of how Donald Trump is being treated versus the Biden administration, which the FBI has told us, you know, it's under investigation of some type. It's been going on for years.
Yeah.
years. And it's really interesting. While Donald Trump was in that courtroom in Miami yesterday, there was a hearing, a Senate hearing in Washington, D.C. And Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley had before them a Deputy FBI Director, Paul Abate, I believe his name is. And they wanted to, as you were just noting, why is it that this Form 1023 that the FBI has, that the House Republicans have been after and the FBI has been delaying, when they did get a copy, it was redacted. Senator Cruz and Hawley, they say, okay, all we want to know is that why are you redacting a portion of that 1053 with this informant that apparently tells us there are 17 recordings of the Burisma head talking to Joe Biden when Joe Biden was vice president. So let's have a little listen to that hearing yesterday. Very pointed. Cut number 10.
Is it true that the FBI has a report making those allegations?
I'm just not going to comment on information we received, investigations.
Do you owe an obligation to the American people to be candid about evidence of corruption by the President of the United States?
This is an area that I'm not going to get into with you, Senator.
Well, I understand you don't want to, and that's why people are mad at the FBI.
Yes or no? Will you commit to releasing this unclassified document that alleges that the President of the United States has taken $5 million or more in bribes from a foreign nation?
Senator, the document, as you know, contains sensitive information that has bearing on the life of the source of the information, potentially.
You can redact the source's name. We do this all the time.
There you have it.
That's shameful.
There you have it. Josh Hawley says, if you're worried about people knowing who the source is, go ahead and redact that.
Yes.
But tell us the rest of what's on there. Verify what Senator Grassley said in the Senate the other day, that there is, from this informant, proof that there are 17 recordings of conversations with, including, then Vice President Joe Biden. Just tell us. Just show us.
Well, Ray, especially to Fred's point, especially since it's already out there. Everyone now knows who's paying attention that that there are possibly 17 recordings of two members of the Biden family, including Joe Biden when he was vice president, with this Burisma guy. All right. And we don't know who that person is, or do we? The person who was on the phone with Joe Biden, do we know?
From Senator Grassley, it is the CEO of Burisma.
Okay, the CEO. All right, so then I'm not sure why the FBI has to redact anything. Or if there are other people involved, maybe whistleblowers, so on and so forth, you could redact them. But the story's out there. If this CEO actually had those conversations and he feels like his life is threatened, deciding to redact it on this document is not going to change a thing. Everybody knows that allegedly these recordings are out there.
What do they say? Truth is the best disinfectant. The answer to the doubts and the skepticism and the widespread cynicism about the FBI and the Department of Justice is to release the facts and let the public decide. Let's hear the record. If we can get the audio, let's hear the audio. If we've got transcripts, and you know, if there is sensitive stuff in there, I mean, truly sensitive stuff, okay, fine. Blank out the stuff that could credibly threaten somebody's life or national security. But let's find out, did Joe Biden accept money, pay for play, up in the millions of dollars with the head of Burisma? The American people have a right to know. I mean, because that impacts not just the election, but that impacts whether or not the American people can really trust the man who's sitting in the White House right now. In any case, release everything that can legitimately be released. Let the people decide.
And Fred, the infuriating thing about what has transpired, even under the Trump administration, where you had the kind of that deep state feel to what was going on in the FBI and in some of the other intelligence agencies, but certainly during the Biden administration, what is infuriating is that the Department of Justice and the FBI should be going about this in a nonpartisan way. So, for example, to what Ray is talking about, all right, let's say there are some things in the audio recordings. We're assuming at this point that they exist. Okay, I haven't heard the FBI say, no, that's just a conspiracy theory. They don't exist. Nobody's said so far that they don't exist.
Yes.
If there is sensitive information, then a bipartisan group should determine what gets redacted or what is made inaudible
yes.
to the American people. But we're not getting that.
No.
The fact that the FBI redacted this entire tragedy,
yes,
this possible epic catastrophic corruption
yes.
on the part of the Biden administration seems to indicate we can't trust at least the head honchos in the FBI to do what's right for this country, because whatever's redacted, that should be done in a bipartisan fashion, because we would hope that the FBI would go after corruption no matter who's in party in
yeah.
the White House.
And I think we have to look at the big picture going back several years. What did the FBI do with Hillary Clinton with the server at her house? All right. They basically let her destroy all the damning evidence.
Right.
She was Secretary of State.
Yes.
And she had all kinds of contact information on those emails, the whole thing. Mm. And what did the FBI say? No good prosecutor would want to prosecute Hillary Clinton over this.
Right.
She made a mistake.
Yeah. She didn't intend to do anything illegal.
Remember when she was taken in? She wasn't even put under oath.
When she was questioned.
When she was questioned by the FBI. And James Comey, the former head of the FBI, there's nothing to this.
Yeah.
And so this is what's really burning people, how they have gone after this man, Donald Trump. And you know, he has his issues, and people have different opinions on that. But you cannot argue with the fact that we have a weaponized Justice Department that has gone after one political person.
Right.
And not touching the Democrats.
Right.
It's like kid gloves when it comes to Democrats. But when you have, and we have evidence within the FBI that they favored
right.
Hillary Clinton. We have all of that out there. So how could they expect the American people not to be suspicious of what's going on at the Justice Department? To this day, Christopher Wray, don't forget, the current FBI director, initially denied the existence of this F-1023.
Yes.
By the way, it should be noted, it is not a classified document.
Right. Nothing on there is classified.
No.
I still understand maybe the need, even if it's not classified, to redact some names. But in order to bolster the reputation of the FBI, whatever they redact, they should have a couple of Republicans in on it mm-hmm. so that important information is not kept from the American people.
Yeah. So no wonder there is suspicion out there. Regardless of what happens, and if there is some guilt found in one of those 37 charges against Trump, eventually we'll have to wait and see. But regardless, I think the proof is there that there is favoritism in the FBI with regards to the Democratic Party, and the deep state is only getting deeper.
Yep. And I tell you, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I'll say I was pleasantly surprised that there is still fight in Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I frankly, as you said earlier, Fred, I don't know how the man does it. At age 77, you start to kick back a little bit, and you're not as energetic, and you're not as feisty. But the man is still coming out swinging. And if he does what he did yesterday,
yeah.
going directly to the people, because he'll get covered in the yes. media, whatever he says,
uh-huh.
He's going to only help himself. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. Alex McFarland is on deck. You'll want to hear that.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
And welcome back. Ed Battagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined by Fred Jackson and Dr. Ray Pritchard. And one doctor's not good enough. We got to have a second doctor on the program, Dr. Alex McFarland, frequent guest on today's issues, co-host of Exploring the Word, heard at 3 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Alex, Welcome back.
Good morning, fellas. Thank you for having me.
Well, Alex, let's talk pride, shall we?
Uh-huh.
Let's well, talk
it
about...
It is Pride Month, you know.
Yes, it is. You, I guess you posted this on Facebook. Brent Creeley, our wonderful producer, I do compliment him periodically, he pointed this out. You posted something on Facebook about pride, and we wanted to talk to you about it. Why don't you kind of kick this off for us?
Well, yeah, you know, it is ironic that Pride Month, June, you know, celebrates something that the Bible really calls the original sin. You know, in Ezekiel 28, 15 through 19, speaking of the angel Lucifer, it says Lucifer had been perfect in all of his ways until iniquity, sin, was found in him. And what was that first sin that caused him to attempt to kill off God and to overthrow heaven? That's in Isaiah 14 and Revelation 12. It was pride. And the biblical word for pride in the original language means haughty or lofty. In other words, I'm above God. And so, look, there's a lot we could say about why people experience same-sex attraction. It's always a means of trying to deal with pain. God doesn't make anybody gay, and God doesn't make anybody transgender. Sexual deviancy is a means of trying to deal with abuse and emotional trauma. But here's my point, guys. Pride, the Bible says that that really is the original of all sins. And the fall of Genesis 3, the fall of Satan, the fall of Adam and Eve, and here we are, centuries of sorrow and pain because of sin. And where did this, where did the dominoes begin to fall? With pride. So I just felt like it was ironic that the whole wide world is saying celebrate pride. Pride is what initiated man's separation from God, Ed.
Well, and we should say, by the way, that sexual deviancy is not just on the homosexual side of the equation. It's also found plenty of heterosexuals. I personally don't think there's any such thing as heterosexual homosexual. There is human beings as sexual beings, and then their sexual predilections, what have you, go in certain directions, I think, precisely because of what you're talking about, Alex. Oftentimes it's because of pain. Fred, you know, the Bible says even that, I think it's talking about elders, so it's probably in Timothy or Titus, that you should not select someone who's too young
yes.
for the position, lest they fall into the condemnation of the devil.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it is talking about pride. This is a serious sin, and our nation has fallen so far away from God. We have no problem. Entire corporations have no problem setting up a Cracker Barrel with rainbow rocking chairs and all these department stores or big box stores with their big pride displays. They have no problem celebrating exactly what Alex says we should not be celebrating.
Well, I think we talked about this yesterday. I really do believe that America has entered a stage in its history where we are living in Romans chapter 1. I grew up, I was a kid in the 60s and the 70s, and I wasn't naive enough to believe that there were not homosexuals.
Right.
But homosexuality was not celebrated. Homosexuality was something, it was, you know, people were in the closet, as it were. But now it is out there, and I think it's the picture that I have in my mind is a culture that is shaking its fist at God and saying, we are gods. And it really does go back to the garden. What did Satan say to Eve? Ye shall be as gods. And I think we're at that stage where we have, I would say the majority of the population has bought into this. Now, there is some rebellion. What's really interesting, where the sin is starting to clash up against reality.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about how there is a backlash now with women's sports.
Right.
You know, so it's it for a while intellectually, I can accept that. But now all of a sudden it's affecting my daughter.
Right.
We need to do something about that.
Right.
So it's not that the sin is new. It's now it's the manifestation of the sin is starting to bump up against a lot of people, even those who aren't Christians, because it's hurting their families. So, but it is a result of that acceptance of sin, and now we're starting to see the results of that sin, how it's affecting the broader population, and there's some rebellion growing against that.
Good, Ray.
Alex, I wanted to ask you, right along this line, we've seen something in the last few days that, at least in my experience, I can't remember anything like it, the pride flag and the White House. We've seen this widely distributed picture of the White House decorated front and center with the pride flag, and then flanking it, the American flag to the sides. Now, that's obviously, quote, a political statement, but it seems to me there's some moral and spiritual messages being sent by the Biden administration to do this, to take the pride flag and put it front and center at the White House. What does it say about the moral and spiritual state of America that such a thing could happen?
Well, it says that our leaders in the current administration are either just egregiously ignorant of history, the Constitution, even flag protocols, or they're just willingly disobedient. And they don't care about the welfare of the country, but they care about placating special interests. Because, look, we know the flag protocols for handling and the display of our blessed red, white, and blue. The American flag is not to be displayed on the same plane with any other banner. And I'm sure everybody's been following this in the news, but our president and his cabinet, and though, look, we all know President Joe Biden. I wish him no ill. I pray for him. I care about his welfare. But he is not leading this nation any more than I am. He's got handlers, and there are people, I believe, calling the shots. But you're not supposed to display the American flag on the same plane. The American flag, according to our accepted flag protocols, is supposed to be elevated. And for the LGBTQ pride flag, which stands against God, against moral truth, against families, against the welfare of children, against everything good and true and real, for that flag of darkness to be on the same plane, commensurate with and equal to the red, white, and blue stars and bars, that it's treasonous. Guys, it really is. By the way, I don't know if people saw, but Cartoon Network is coming out with transgender, gender-neutral cartoons where the characters will say they and them, not he or she. Let me tell you, there's a story emerging in my home state of North Carolina. A decorated firefighter of 16 years, Dustin Jones, who was honored several years ago for saving a child's life, on his personal Facebook page, in the off hours, he was not on the clock, but he put a post on his own personal Facebook page that said, "Straight pride. It's natural. It's been around thousands of years. And plus, we can have babies." For that, a 16-year decorated career as a firefighter was over. He got fired. They had a city council meeting a couple of days ago in Greensboro, Guilford County. The courtroom or city council room was filled with drag queens and homosexuals cursing, screaming, unrepeatable profanities. I talked to a person that was there who said I was genuinely afraid because it felt like Satan was in the room. Now, here's the thing, folks, besides other things, guys, look, why do you, if homosexual activity and transgenderism, if it's right and good and natural, just like anything else, why are they not only seeking validation, but demanding validation. Doesn't it strike you as odd that if it's all right and it's okay, why are you bludgeoning the world into validating? I submit to you that because deep down, even the most ardent LGBTQ trans activist, deep in the core of their soul, they know it's not right. It's not true. It's not natural. And twisting our arm to demand the validation that they want, I mean, it betrays deep down they know it isn't right.
I had not heard this story that you're telling, Alex. Is this something that please send a link or something to Fred and I?
Will.
That reminds me of Kelvin Cochran.
Yes.
Back in Atlanta. This mm-hmm. goes back a number of years. He had to take the city of Atlanta to court over something like this. I hope that's what happens in this case, because that ought to be a fast and expensive loss mm-hmm. for the
exactly.
city. But I will say that, yeah, go ahead.
If there's gay pride, trans pride, why can't there be straight pride?
Yeah.
And why is Dustin Jones of the Greensboro Fire Department not at liberty to freely express himself on his own personal Facebook page in his personal time?
Well, I will say this about the trans movement. Now, there was an article yesterday on Fox. We never did cover it or get to it, but because it was an opinion piece. But the writer of it, I don't recall who wrote it, they were talking about the violence of the transgender movement, and that it was sort of like Antifa in terms of the attempt to, like I think you said, bludgeon opponents, even with actual physical, not just verbal, but actual physical violence. And to me, the reason for that is obvious. I remember a video of a debate on a news program in which Ben Shapiro, okay, was sitting next to a trans woman, okay? By that I mean a man in a dress, okay?
Right, right.
Big dude. And as soon as Ben started talking about the fact that there's just two genders, whatever, this guy stood up and threatened physical violence to Ben Shapiro. And my first thought is, that's exactly what a guy would do.
Mm-hmm.
The violence of the trans movement, and it's almost the actual violence is almost always committed by men. That's what happened with Riley Gaines when she was assaulted. It was men in dresses, because men have more testosterone. And when you get men riled up, they're quicker to go to the actual physical violence. The women seem to be doing more of the screaming. I hope that's not offensive to people, but that's the way women subdue their opponents, is with verbal intimidation. Men use physical intimidation. This is becoming a violent movement, and it belies their argument that these men are actually women, because they're acting like angry dudes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And, you know, I often quote, there's a neurosurgeon named Dr. Frances Jensen, and she's got a book on youth neurological development, and it's called The Teenage Brain. And it's not by any stretch a Christian book, and I have no idea what her spiritual beliefs may or may not be. But the reason I quote her, she's at the Albert Einstein School of Medicine in New York, and she says in her book, and I quote, that males and females are different is indisputable. And she goes on, and when I'm doing my parenting seminars on, you know, the questions kids ask about God and, you know, keeping your kids on your team. But I quote Frances Jensen and other psychologists, neurosurgeons, and developmental psychologists, because here's what she says. She says that there are differences between the neural anatomy of boys and girls is indisputable. Now, here's the thing. We know physically boys and girls are different. Males and females are different. I mean, when I go into the interior of Africa or third world countries, developing nations, I mean, you can go as far as you want into the undeveloped world. And unlike Ketanji Jackson, even savages in the jungle know what a woman is, right? But here's the thing. Not only are there physical differences, there are behavioral differences. There are different ways that men and women think. Cognitive, emotive. Now, in Christianity, there is a wonderful, wonderfully developed viewpoint called complementarianism. Men and women are complementary. They're different. They're equal in worth and value and personhood, but they're absolutely different in physiology and behavior. And that's a beautiful thing. But guys, we're getting force-fed something that is just not only false, it's, as my friend Dinesh D'Souza says, anti-reality. And we must speak about this.
Yep.
All right. That voice you've been hearing, that golden voice, Dr. Alex McFarland, who's co-host of Exploring the Word, heard at 3 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Alex, are you going to be on this afternoon with Brother Bert Harper? And what's the subject if you are?
Well, God bless you. Bert is actually on the road. He broadcast remotely yesterday from the Southern Baptist Convention in New Orleans. So my co-host, my co-pilot today is my dear friend Jim Stanley. And we are picking up in Acts chapter 4, around about verse 13 today. Exploring the Word is 3 to 4 Central, 4 to 5 Eastern, and in time zones everywhere. And you can hear our live Bible study every day on the American Family Radio Network.
All right, Alex, thanks for being on with us, brother.
Blessings to all. Thank you.
And by the way, folks, if you want to catch up on some of the discussions that Bert and Alex have had, or in this case, Alex and Jim Stanley have had, you can go to American Family Radio, our website, AFR.net, and there's a drop-down menu for podcasts, and you can listen to any of the podcasts from that program or any program that is available by podcast. I would also like to let you know about a couple of free resources. In light of the conversation we had with Alex about some of the origins of homosexuality and those kinds of sex and gender confusions, we have two resources available. Cultural Institute videos. That is a kind of a brand name that American Family Studios has for a particular type of video content. And the two special editions that we want to make available to you for free for a limited time on streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. There, one video is called Practical Ways to Minister to the Sexually Broken. That's with Stephen Black and Laura Lee Stanlake. Both of them have came out years ago out of the homosexual lifestyle. And they're talking about ways to minister to people that you might know, maybe in your family or a neighbor or anyway. If you have a heart to minister to the sexually broken, you'll want to watch this 60-minute video. And then there is a second one with Stephen Black and our very own M.D. Perkins, who works here for American Family Studios. He's Research Fellow of Church and Culture for American Family Association, M.D. Perkins. He and Stephen Black, there's the second video is called The Theological Error of Gay Christianity, quote unquote. So they deal with some of the theological arguments being made by those who say God made people gay and we should accept them in the church. You can watch both of those for free for a limited time on streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. If you want to buy those videos, you can on DVD. You can look those up on resources.afa.net. So I just wanted to make sure that you understood that we do put out resource material to help people minister to and minister to those who are trapped in sexual sin, and then also those who have to deal with people who are portraying and preaching and teaching a false view of human sexuality. So both of those are available for free at streaming.afa.net. All right, Fred, what's
well,
next?
We're going to be following up on the story that Alex related to is about that 16-year veteran police officer
yes.
there in North Carolina loses his job for expressing his Christian viewpoints about sexuality
on his own time
on his own Facebook page. But it is just the latest example that we hear on a regular basis of the so-called tolerant crowd.
Right.
They don't have any toleration. They are out to punish those who disagree. And we've been talking a little bit about this proposed bill in California that would classify parents who refuse to affirm their child's gender, classify them as abusive, and could result in revoked custody.
Repeat that again, because that's going to skip by the people a lot of times when they're listening to the radio or doing other things. Folks, you got to listen to this story, because this is scary stuff.
Yeah.
Please repeat that.
So if my mom and dad in California, they have a six-year-old boy who says, "Mommy and Daddy, I feel like a girl," all right? If they parents don't say, "Yes, okay, you can start wearing a dress," this law would say, we're going to report you basically to the authorities, and you could lose your children. The state would come and take your children. Now, one of the Democratic Assembly members who is proposing this is Lori Wilson. From her own mouth, let's just hear what she has to say. Cut six.
Their gender identity is in their best interest. We should be affirming our children in every possible way. It doesn't matter. Our children should be affirmed. And this is saying that you have to include gender affirmation as a part of that.
Yeah, she wants that in the law, that you could lose custody of your children. Now, Fox News asked the opinion of Tammy Bruce. She's one of the regular contributors to this. By the way, she is a lesbian, but she has a very conservative point of view on this and how scary this kind of law can be. Cut number seven.
This is outrageous. This is, it's madness, but it also fits within what the left has always done, whether it was school closures, the statements from the teachers' unions. But you notice that these politicians use the phrase our, the word our, yes. Children. Yes. And it is always, always, I can't state this enough, and I wrote this 20 years ago in my second book, The Death of Right and Wrong, is that they are coming for the children. They want to cleave the children from their families. This is just another excuse. You can't allow the state to do this, but the left in particular is so threatened by the influence of the family unit, of any close family unit, that's what takes away the power of the state and its ability to do what it wants to do in the future if you give up your children.
And what she said about their use of the phrase, our children, the president of the United States of America used that phrase last week.
Yes.
When talking about the rights of transgenders, he used that phrase, our children.
Well, Ray, is that what the Bible says? Does the Bible say that children belong to the state?
In the first place, Ed, children come from the Lord. They are a blessing from the Lord. They are a gift from God. But they are a gift from God to the parents, to the mother, to the father. They are given to the parents to raise, to train up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And let's be clear about it. Moms and dads, you're going to have, mom, dad, you're going to have to answer. I'm going to have to answer someday for my kids. If you take upon yourself the sacred obligation to bring a child into this world, it's a gift from God. It's also a heavy obligation, heavy responsibility. What is the role of the government? To help the parents, to protect the parents so they can raise their children in wisdom, in prudence, and discretion, as it says in the book of Proverbs. No, your children are yours. They are not the property of any human government.
You know, just to point to how serious this is, a Republican senator in California, Scott Wilk is his name, from Santa Clara, California. His response to this, he's telling parents to flee.
Yes.
California. Get your kids out. Save your kids. Cut 13.
I've encouraged people to keep fighting. I've changed my mind on that. If you love your children, you need to flee California. You need to flee. We are moving towards the pathway of the Handmaid's Tale. California is becoming the new Juliet. And it just breaks my heart. Born and raised in this state. I love this state. I'm not going to stay in this state because it's just too oppressive. And I believe in freedom. And so I'm going to move to America when I leave the legislature.
I watched that, Ray. I watched that. It was about a minute and a half. Our staff cut that down a little bit before we aired it. But I watched this gentleman. He was breaking. I mean, this is heartbreaking for him. His state is becoming so oppressive. He says when his term is up in the legislature, he's leaving, and he's telling parents, if you love your kids and don't want them to be raised by the state, you better flee too.
I think he said, when my term is up, I'm going to move to America.
Yes.
Wow.
Serious words coming from somebody who clearly sees what's going on the inside in terms of the California legislature. All right, folks, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. And when we come back, we're going to have more. Chris Woodward is going to join us with more of the news that you are listening in for, things that are affecting you and your family, infecting our culture. I almost said infecting, but that's not far from the truth. We want you to join us. 5-minute break for news. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, thank you, sir.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.